This week, I was searching the internet, spending some time, and I found an article in the Sun This Week newspaper from Apple Valley, Minnesota, and it was an article that made me laugh so hard, I just thought I had to share it with you. It's about this event that happens in Lakeville, Minnesota, and I don't know where Lakeville is, and if you're from Lakeville, this is by no means to make fun of your city, but it is to make fun of this event. I'm just going to name that from the very beginning. This event is called the Panoprog event, and it's an event that happens every single year, and there are normal things that happen in a town that happen in this event. There's a beauty pageant, there's some sort of beer festival, there's food festival. I mean, it's this big thing, but one of the things they do every year and the things that people come out to see is this baby crawl-a-thon, and it's a big deal for them. It's a really, really important deal, the baby crawl-a-thon is. In fact, emotions ran high with the 2015 winner, who was a 10-month-old named Berkeley Bailey, because she was disqualified after she won. She was disqualified because as soon as she finished crawling, the judges got together and they came and they said, "We're sorry, she can't win because she crawls oddly. She pulls one arm forward and then drags herself with the other arm." And it was a really, really big deal. It was a hotly contested thing because her mother came and said, "The doctor said that's the only way this baby crawls. The doctor said that's a crawl." Her mother was using the doctor as justification for why she should have won the crawl-a-thon. Now the president, there's a president of the crawl-a-thon, believe it or not, Diana Nehmeyer. The president said the issue first arose at the race in 2014, you're going to love this, when a baby crawled like a bear on its hands and feet. He finished the race first, but he also was disqualified. "When you do it that way, you're just a speedster, and that's not fair. That's not fair for everybody else." Now, in 2016, this is the article it was reporting back on the 2016. In 2016, it reported there were some close calls this year, but no disagreements over the declared winner of the July 5th Panoprog Baby Crawl-a-thon. Reagan Ortega, the 11-month-old, gets to keep her crown. Is this not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard? I mean, it is so, literally, I read it and I said, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. And then I said, wait a second. I think this small micro example says a lot about our culture today. It says a lot about the reality of the world that we're living in. A reality of a world that is so incredibly filled with jealousy that we have to decide whether or not a baby counts when they're crawling. Jealousy comes to the forefront of where we are. How do I know this? I have it. I deal with it. I stand in circles all the time with people when they're talking about their children. Maybe you who have children don't deal with this. But I stand in circles all the time, and I'm having conversations with people, and they're talking about how amazing their children are. Now, first of all, they're lying. Let's name that, okay? They're lying that their children are perfect, but they talk about how perfect their children are, and I find it welling up inside of me. That jealousy of, like, my child's not perfect. I know the truth about what my child does. I've seen the moments. And actually, I found people who have kids. One of the biggest challenges today with people as they send their kids off to college, their kids are not ready for college. And it's a really hard thing. And kids are coming home from college. And do you know people are not sharing that information with their friends till like a year after their kids come home from college? People will go, "Hey, how's so-and-so doing in school?" And they'll say, "Oh, it's fine. Their kid hadn't been to school in a year." But they're so worried at how society will judge them, and they're so jealous of your perfect children and everything that's going on in your family. That's a real problem. Jealousy is a huge issue in our culture, and I'm not gonna just, every time I say it's today, people are like, "It's been an issue forever." I live today, so it's an issue today, right? It's a problem that I'm seeing today. We've been in a sermon series here at Restoration for 4 weeks now, where we've been looking at the early story of leading up to the birth of Jesus, and we've been saying, what if? What if people had made different decisions? What if people had made different choices? And we're coming under the initial idea that each of these people could have made different decisions. They have free will. Each of the people could have said, "No, I don't want to do that," or "Yes, I do want to do that." And today we find ourselves with Elizabeth. It's one of the last stories we get before the birth of Jesus. Elizabeth is a woman who was married to Zechariah, who we talked about week one. Zechariah was a priest, and he was an older man, and she's an older woman, probably in her 80s at this point in time. Elizabeth is a woman who wanted a child her whole life, but could not have one. She struggled with that reality because she wanted a child. She was well into her 80s at this point. She had given up on having a child. And then the craziest thing happens. This woman gets pregnant. Some of you are like, that is not an exciting thing in your 80s. But for her, it's a really big thing. She gets pregnant. And at this point in the story, she's about 6 months pregnant. And I want to take us this morning to look at what happens in the scripture. It says at that time, Mary got ready. She hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth, heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So what happens here? Mary comes for a visit. Mary's the young cousin, right? We don't know exactly what age. There's lots of arguments. Is Mary a young teenager? Is she an older teenager? She's a teenager, and she's pregnant. And she comes to tell her cousin Elizabeth the news, who is not a teenager, but is also pregnant. Are you seeing what's going on here? The oddness of this situation. Mary knocks on the door. She enters. And I think so often when we read this text, we think this must have been such a sweet and beautiful moment. Like Mary comes in and she goes, "Hey, I'm pregnant." And Elizabeth goes, "Me too. Isn't this fun?" But I think we forget that Elizabeth had waited for a child for years and years and years and years. And Mary had not. Mary had not planned on this child coming. It was not part of her story. But it was part of Elizabeth's desires and her story. And I think I often, and I won't speak for you, but if I've read this text, I read it and I'm like, oh, this must have been such a sweet initial entry. An initial moment. I mean, remember too, Elizabeth, we talked about it a few weeks ago, knew that her child was supposed to be really special. He was going to be really important. He was going to be named John, and he was going to have real value and lead people to know God, except that he was not the Son of God, which is what Mary's child was going to be. Now, can you imagine in our culture today anybody getting jealous over these realities? Right? Elizabeth, Mary comes to bring Elizabeth this news. Now, as soon as I started to write this sermon, I realized that months ago when I chose the title for this, I chose the wrong title. Because the title I chose for this sermon was, "What if Elizabeth became jealous?" But the more that I sat in the midst of this text and the more that I thought about it, I said, I don't know if we know if she got jealous or not. But here's what I know we do know. The question then becomes, what if Elizabeth allowed jealousy to control her? Do you see the difference in those two questions? Is a difference in becoming jealous and allowing jealousy to take over. So the question I want to look at this morning is, what if Elizabeth allowed jealousy to control her? I don't think that we can look at this scripture and say that Elizabeth wouldn't have been jealous at all. I think sometimes we try to take the biblical characters and pretend like they weren't real people. And maybe some don't believe they were, but I believe they were real people. And real people have real emotions. And they have real responses to things. So I think we shouldn't pretend that she had no jealousy, but let's look at her response. This is how we know that jealousy didn't control her. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child you will bear." Elizabeth doesn't allow jealousy to control her. She doesn't allow it to take over in that moment. She doesn't allow the jealousy to suck the joy out of Mary's story. She doesn't allow jealousy to control what's going on. She doesn't turn in that direction. Why is it? What can we learn from this text that might help you and me dealing with this whole terrible challenge of jealousy today? Here's the first thing. I think that we can read this text and we can see that Elizabeth used her experiences in her life that are challenging to push her closer to God than to pull her farther away. I want to say that again. She used her challenging experiences to push her closer to God than to pull her further away. What do I mean by that? We know from reading the Zechariah story a few weeks ago that Elizabeth had wanted a child her whole life. She longed to be a mother. That was part of her story. That's what she wanted. She was leaning towards that, and over again, she didn't have a child. It would have been really easy for Elizabeth throughout her life to say, all right, God's not with me. God doesn't love me. God's not real. It would have been really easy for her to do that, but she doesn't. The scripture specifically says that she turned toward God. The word that it uses, she was righteous before God. She spent that time with God. These are really important words. I mean, what could Elizabeth have done? She could have done what many people do. She could have gone into this cycle. I have sat with many women who are longing to have a child. It's a terribly, terribly difficult reality. It's a really hard thing, and I've journeyed with them and walked with them. And what ends up happening often in this case is women start to look for someone to blame. And almost always, the first person they blame is themselves. Something must be wrong with me. I've done something wrong. Something's going on wrong. And often they'll go and find out if there is some challenge medically or if it's not something that's going on with them. And then you go, then who do we turn to blame? Who can we blame for this reality? I mean, this is really hard when we have loss or we have longing. Who can we blame for this reality? So the next logical option is that people go and they blame God. When no one else is there to blame, God is. People go and they take their blame to God. And I get that. It's a very natural response. So what I want you to not hear this morning is judgment from me. If you have found yourself in hardship and you have naturally turned to blame God, there is no judgment in that. What's hard for me is that people will spend a lot of energy and a lot of time blaming God for something, and yet we will often spend very little energy or time trying to find God in the midst of it. So we'll find the time to blame God and say, this must be God's deal, God's problem. But finding space and time to experience God is hard. And what I believe is that in the midst of her tragedy, in the midst of this really difficult thing, and I don't want to downplay this for a moment, I believe Elizabeth turned to God throughout these difficult moments. So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Elizabeth doesn't let her reality get clouded by someone else's, meaning she doesn't let Mary come in and say, well, I know I'm already having a baby and this is really good for me, but it is not fair that she's having one. She doesn't let Mary's situation control her situation. That's that whole thing I was talking about earlier with parents, right? We should be able to say, my kid is struggling even though yours isn't, even though yours is, but you're not telling me, right? We should be able to name that reality. We should be able to say that. I was having a conversation with a friend on the phone this week. And I was like, hey, are you getting excited about Christmas? He goes, no. And I said, tell me why. He's like, we've got to be with family, right? Some of you may be feeling this way right now. He said, we have to be with family. And I said, what do you mean? And he was telling me about somebody in his family. And they're in his wife's family, so he's allowed to talk about him, right? So somebody in his wife's family. And he said, this guy's such a jerk. And I said, tell me more. And he said, he constantly talks about the fact that he grew up in a completely different family situation than his wife did. He constantly says, well, she had all the good stuff. Mom and dad were good to her. They took care of her. They gave her everything she wanted, and they gave me nothing. Right? This is what I call the your life didn't suck as bad as mine growing up syndrome in the same family system. Right, and he said, what happens is when they get together as a family that the parents are constantly going, they're overcompensating because of how terrible he tells them they were to him growing up. And he says, I just want to look at my buddy, my brother-in-law. He says, I just want to look at my brother-in-law and say, hey, buddy, grow up. Like, let's journey together. Because they're only 1 year apart, by the way, the brother and sister. They grew up in the same family system. And he says, I just want to look at him and say, get up. Some of you may be going to family this Christmas that you're not excited to spend time with. And maybe jealousy is a part of that because we can't get over the family system that was the thing. And I'm not talking about really hard family stuff. In this situation, there's not really hard family stuff. It's she got a bike when I got nothing. He didn't get nothing, by the way, okay? My point is to say jealousy takes over. So what his sister's saying is, my buddy, he said, my wife, which is this guy's sister, is saying, he didn't have that bad of a childhood, but when he got things, I just didn't get jealous. I didn't let that overtake me. And that's what Elizabeth is doing in this moment. Third and final point, and I think this is the biggest point of all. This really hit me like a ton of bricks. The Holy Spirit was working within her. Now, this might be a cliche phrase. You say, of course, that's what the pastor's going to say, right? The Holy Spirit was working. I want to read this to you. I believe this with all of I am that this is true. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what the biggest difference, I think, between Elizabeth and me is? I frankly think Elizabeth is more open to the Holy Spirit than I am. I think she's more open to experiencing the Holy Spirit. I completely believe in it, but I believe I am constantly putting up these blocks from experiencing it and receiving it. And the scripture says that all throughout the journey, Elizabeth was willing to experience it. She was open to it. There's a song that we often sing in worship here, and actually it's going to come up during communion today, and the song is called Holy Spirit, and the line is, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And I have some friends who are pastors, and they say, I hate that song. Why do we have to tell the Holy Spirit it's allowed to come in? And I was like, that's the worst interpretation of that song I've ever heard. It's not about telling. The Holy Spirit can do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know what it is? When we sing that song, it's about saying, Holy Spirit, I'm open. I'm open to receiving you. I'm open to experiencing you. I'm open to letting you transform my life. I'm open and welcome to you getting rid of the jealousy that I'm dealing with. I believe that Elizabeth was more open to the Holy Spirit than I am. Scripture doesn't tell us a lot about her. Doesn't tell us a lot about her story. It says she was Mary's cousin. It shows you her response here. And it says that she was righteous and she was faithful. I long to be more like her. I long to be more open to the Holy Spirit transforming me, more open to allowing God to work in that way. Elizabeth not only doesn't let jealousy control her, but she offers Mary a blessing. And that blessing is powerful in and of itself. But you know what I almost missed? And I've missed it every time I read it until this past week. I missed the very end of this passage. I missed the very last thing she said. She said, blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. See, I've always read that text and thought she was offering something else to Mary. She's already offered Mary her blessing. You know who I think Elizabeth is saying this to? Herself. Blessed is she who believes that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. I believe that Elizabeth spent her whole life not believing that she would have a baby. I think she gave up that probably in like her 50s or 60s. But I believe that Elizabeth believed her entire life that no matter what her scenario was, in the most difficult, challenging of times, that God would fulfill God's promise to her, and that number one promise is that God would love her and be with her. Whatever that journey was. When I read that line this week, I said, I think that's the line that God wants to leave us with this morning. And I'll change it from she to the one. Blessed is the one who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to them. Blessed is the one who believes that God will be with you, that God will walk with you, that God will journey with you, even in the most challenging and difficult times. I don't believe that Elizabeth necessarily believed that she would always have a baby. I can imagine that was pretty shocking to her. But I do believe that she believed that God would be with her all the way along the journey. And the question I end with this morning is, do you? Do you believe that God will be with you? I believe that God longs to. Now we just have to be open enough to let it happen.